The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Cambridgeshire Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio from Gwydir Street. I'm back, Ollie Satt this week. Thank you to Jack Swinhurst for covering me last weekend. And some big breaking news for you. Cambridge United have announced that Colin Calderwood is the new head coach on an 18-month contract. We'll be getting Tim Armitage's reaction to that in just a minute. We'll also be talking Histon this afternoon with defender Rob Ruddy as they beat Norwich United 4-2 on the weekend. We discuss the festive period with him and all the fixtures to come as well. Cambridge United women's match against Ipswich Town Ladies was postponed on the weekend, but we've still got a Cambridge United representative on the phone, Sean Gregg, who's going to join us to review their season so far, pretty much approaching the halfway mark of the campaign. And also, as usual, I'll be providing you your Cambridgeshire County League update, all the biggest results, shocks and matches from the weekend's games just gone. But first, as usual, it's time to talk Cambridge United. The breaking news this evening is that Colin Calderwood is the new head coach at the Abbey, replacing Joe Dunn on an 18-month contract. We're speaking to Tim Armitage just after this. Yeah, so the breaking news, I just said, Colin Calderwood is the new head coach at Cambridge United. Cheers go up in the studio from Tim Armitage. In terms of his record, he played in his career for Mansfield, Swindon, Tottenham, Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest. Had a loan spell at Notts County as well. He had 36 appearances for the Scotland national team. In terms of his management career, he has had three permanent posts as manager. Northampton Town in 2003-06, Nottingham Forest from 06-08 and Hibernian in 2010-11. He's also been assistant for Chris Houghton at Newcastle United, Birmingham City, Norwich and Brighton. But most recently was assistant to Steve Bruce at Aston Villa before they left in 2018. His next managerial job will be at Cambridge United, will be at the Abbey Stadium, and from the terraces, Tim Armitage joins me now. Tim, firstly, your reaction to the news?
I'll forgive him that he's an ex-Tottenham player, but
as an Arsenal fan,
I think it's a great appointment. I think we wanted someone with experience, and okay, people are going to say, "Well, he's been an assistant manager, yeah," but he's been an assistant manager at the highest level. So I think, you know, given that he's also got experience—5 years experience between Northampton and Nottingham Forest, and then a year at Hibs—I think, you know, his management credentials are good. I think he'll be hungry to prove himself as a head coach. I think you look at his playing career, 330 games with Swindon as a defender. He scored 20 goals, 162 games with Spurs, 26 with Villa, and so on. I think, and a Scottish international as well. So there's no doubt in his credentials as a player. And I think with working with Chris Houghton, and his experience at Villa as well, I think he's got, you know, he's had some good tutelage, and I think he should be a good person within the role. And I think, assuming that everything stays as is outside of that, I think Mark Bonner must be, given that I don't think Mark ever thought he was really going to get the job, I think he'd be quite pleased with an appointment like that, because it's a great opportunity to work with someone with a lot of experience, and will do no harm to his career whatsoever.
And judging a book by its cover, as we will do, considering he hasn't managed a game for United yet, we haven't seen him in the flesh, but you look at the teams he's been assistant at, and the managers, I guess, he's been assistant with, Chris Houghton and Steve Bruce. I guess those type of managers who know how to get results and know how to win games, a Scottish international as well, a defender as well, so you assume he's going to be a hard man and put his body on the line. You get the impression this is the type of experienced head he's probably going to put a few rocket up, a few backsides as well, and he seems the perfect choice, really.
Out of all, how many people were touted as the potential manager, and you look at the betting and seeing who you could have ended up with, and he came in. It's weird, isn't it? He came in literally at the last minute and went from nowhere to 6-1 or 1-6 and then 1-4 in the end. So it was really interesting about, you know, all of these people. You wonder whether they actually ever came down. I know that we interviewed several people. That's been going on over the last few days. It'd be interesting to see if they ever actually did interview half of these people that apparently they'd interviewed. But yeah, I think in terms of what we were looking for, which is some experience, I think from a playing perspective, he's got that. From a managerial point of view, I think, given that they do a head coach, you know, given that we're going to do the head coach route again rather than a manager, I think the fact that he was an assistant manager is probably, you know, much the same kind of role. So we wait to see what happens now. I mean, I don't expect anything really to happen, certainly not by Saturday. I don't think he's going to make any major changes because he doesn't know the players, doesn't know the team. Bonner will be second in command, but I think he will put together the team and the recommendations for him. But I expect to see. I mean, I certainly expect to see some transfer speculation coming up fairly soon. I think the good thing is he's obviously got a lot of contacts at a high level, so that opens the opportunity for potential loan players as well, given the resources that are going to be available to him won't be huge. You know, we can perhaps look to get some decent loan players in. So, you know, I think, you know, we wait to see, but on paper it looks like a really good appointment. And interestingly, it's got there's a lot of very positive things being said, which is actually very unusual. I can't remember last time I saw anything positive.
I'll read those out in a sec. If you want to get in touch, you can do on 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490, if you want to get in touch about your views on Colin Coldwood. In terms of, you talked about the odds of the other managers, I've got them here. Darren McCann, obviously the Ebbsfleet manager, was 15-8. He was the favourite. Bonner then was next at 3-1. I think Kevin Nolan came in at 4-1. That all changed very quickly, like you said, a couple of days ago, or yesterday in fact. Colin Coldwood shot up to about 1-4 actually at the top of the odds. Do you think that happened, and we talk about the structure as well, do you think perhaps he was the man to come in because he was the only one who fitted into this structure of head coach, or do you think it's too really early to say?
I mean, I don't know. It's a simple answer to that. I think part of the problem is that the betting is just a waste of time, and it's a piece of humour, and that's all it is. And given that within the betting, both Money and Sean Derry were in there in the odds, you think, you know, who writes this? You couldn't make that up. I mean, as if we were going to offer Sean Derry the job back in any way.
I was gutted Sam Allardyce didn't drop down.
So you make of it what you will. And I think, you know, for me, as I say, I mean, when you look at what's happened at Macclesfield with Sol Campbell coming in, that makes them a real danger. And Notts County, we saw, had a win against Tranmere at the weekend. So they're obviously a real danger, which we always knew they'd probably end up putting a run of results together. So you've got the two clubs below you that were pretty much guaranteeing you'd stay up at one stage are now looking threatening, and we had to do something about it. We had to make sure this was the right appointment. And as I say, at least on paper, it looks like a very good appointment, and certainly the experience to carry it off.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, he's assistant coach most recently at a number of clubs, Norwich, Birmingham, Newcastle and Aston Villa under various managers. Do you think that's why perhaps he was maybe a leading candidate? Because as you say, assistant manager is going to be most likely to be more of a coach on the training field, and they're not going to have the final say like a manager like Steve Bruce or Chris Hatton would. Therefore, he fits that head coach role, and he's able perhaps to work with Ben Strang and Graham Daniels in some more areas such as the recruitment.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe the club, that's what they were telling people, is that this is the structure you're going to fit into. The fact that he's an assistant manager, assistant head coach, or whatever his official title was, makes it less likely he was going to have an entire load of backroom staff that he wanted to bring along. So I kind of that probably has made it easier. But, you know, I think that was what everyone was being told, and they'd have been hard pushed to bring their own people in, A, because we'd have struggled to pay them, I suspect, and B, because that's not what the board want to do. And I think as long as you've got the right head coach appointment, I kind of agree with the idea behind it, even if the execution isn't necessarily everything you'd want it to be, because managers do change, and to have an entire backroom staff up and go because the next one's coming in is not going to be good for a club, especially a club that's, you know, down at the bottom end money-wise. So I think it is what it is, and I think, you know, whether they chose him specifically because he was the only one that said, I don't want to be the manager, I want to be the head coach, I don't know. I suspect not. I suspect other people would have fitted in with it because they'd have had to if they want the job. But, you know, I think he, by the look of it, he was picked on merit.
Yeah, in terms of from his point of view as well, an interesting move for him, stepping out from the shadows of, you like, of the likes of Steve Bruce and Chris Houghton. He now will be the full head coach, no longer an assistant. So a big move for him. He's been at Northampton Town from 2003-06, Nottingham Forest 2006-08, and then most recently Hibernian in 2010-11. So 7 years ago, really, since his last major managerial role. So this is a big role for him. He'll want to prove himself. He'll want to show that he can manage it. And he's gone down to, I guess, the lowest of the low to try and prove it.
Very lowest of the low.
His mentality, he can only go up, I guess.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, what more could you want than a manager who is desperate to prove that he can step out from the likes of Bruce and Houghton and others and say, you know, I can manage a club as well. And I think it bodes well that he will be looking to, you know, make a real impression. You know, an 18-month contract is probably about right, a season and a half, because if he is ambitious, you'd expect him to make a success of this and then move on to someone a little bit higher, potentially. And that's great if that's what he's going to do, as long as on his way he takes us up at least to, you know, playoffs next year. I mean, what can he do this year? I mean, he can save us from relegation, I think, is the first task. And after that, you know, proper recruitment, get his own team sorted, and then make a proper push for at least playoffs next year, you know, if there's money there to do that. So we'll see, obviously, what happens there. It'll be interesting to see as well if we get a statement from the owner, whether he's actually going to make, because he obviously didn't make any statement. There was no statement after Joe Dunn was sacked. It will be interesting to see, you know, what his thoughts, although I suspect, you know, you'll get a sanitised version of any thoughts that he's got. But it'll be interesting to see if that happens. Perhaps we'll find out at the press conference tomorrow.
Precisely. In terms of the squad he's inheriting then, let's quickly touch on the last year's game, the Yeovil game then. 0-0, horrible weather.
Horrible game.
what more else is there to say, really? I guess the players he's inheriting, you've got a few players who we've seen over the last few months have got potential, the likes of George Maris, Giovanni Brown, and I guess it's getting the best out of them and trying making them, I guess, the centre point of the team, however way he wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen with some of the results, the odd result here and there, and with some of the performances, that on paper the team isn't as bad as the position that we're in suggests. I think the Yeovil game was dreadful. It was had National League written all over it. It was, you know, I mean, and to be fair, Bonds didn't come out and blame the weather. He made a point of talking about it briefly, but it's the same for both teams. You've got it in one half, they've got it in the other half. The wind was awful, the rain was terrible, the pitch was slippy, but everybody has to cope with that kind of thing. I think the level of the level of naivety is incredible, I think. Yeah, on that game, it was like the Crewe game. We made a very poor side look quite good, which was difficult at Crewe because they were awful, and even more difficult for Yeovil because they were even more awful. Oh, they came with a game plan. They came, especially in the second half, they came to frustrate us, and they managed that. But we had a period in the first half where we were all over them, and the difficulty is, how many times have we said you dominate a game and you get nothing from it, and you can't do that. It doesn't matter if your defence is the best in the world, you might occasionally win 1-0, but when your defence lets goals in, then if you can't score, then you how can you possibly win games? And that's the difficulty. That's what he's got to figure out.
I was going to say, is that really then going to change under a new manager? Because I guess a one-on-one, putting the ball on the back of the net, there's not really too much a manager can do sitting on the sidelines.
No, and I think it's going to take a recruitment. You know, it's not difficult to see. Everyone said it at the start of the season. Everyone said it ever since the season, you know, since the first game, is that we don't have a striker that's going to score 20 goals. We'll be lucky if we have a striker that scores 10 goals. So he needs someone who can score goals, but he needs to find a style of play that the team can play to every week in a consistent manner. And you know, if you can do that, I think. It's not going to take certainly to save us from relegation. I think if you can just get them playing more consistently, they'll do it. Whether we score goals or not, I think, you know, we'll score enough and we'll not concede enough if he can just get them to play to their strengths. And it won't take much, I don't think, in terms of recruitment, you know, a striker to get us to a position where we'll be able to climb back towards mid-table. You know, you look ahead at the long term, realistically, what we're going to see is next year his push for a better position in the league, where he gets his own players in, has plenty of time in coaching and a full pre-season. Then we'll see exactly what he's made of. But, you know, the team has definitely got the potential if he can make them work consistently.
Yeah, it's interesting, very interesting. We'll talk a bit more after the break, actually, about where this leaves Mark Bonner, of course, who was the interim head coach at United, and also really how is interesting to think about how his style of play, perhaps with Steve Bruce and Chris Houghton and the jobs they've had, how that may influence him. We'll talk all of that with Tim in just a bit after this, and we'll have the travel too.
Upside down, you cut me loose in the past.
You're listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Ollie Slack and we're talking to Tim Armitage in the studio of the breaking news this afternoon that Cambridge United have appointed their new head coach. Colin Calderwood is the new boss. He is in charge for 18 months, taken over from Joe Dunn, who was sacked earlier this season. And Tim, yeah, so Colin Calderwood is in charge. Where does this leave the interim head coach, Mark Bonner, then? Obviously, he has taken charge for a number of weeks now, assuming part of the remit for appointing a manager would be that you have to accompany Bonner in the dugout, and I assume that will happen. Bonner will still be the assistant.
Well, at the moment, yeah, that's what we were told was going to happen. That's the idea behind the appointment. So he'll just drop back to being the assistant head coach, and hopefully, you know, that will do his career no harm at all, I don't think. I mean, you know, as you say, you know, Colin's learnt from, you know, some of the best managers around, and I think if he can pass that on to Mark Bonner, then I think it all looks good for Mark Bonner, to be honest. Given that, you know, will he be disappointed that he didn't get the job? He might be disappointed, but realistically, I don't think he ever thought he was going to get it. I think he was going to realise that it was going to be a more experienced appointment than he could provide. So, you know, what better thing to do than get a manager of that calibre, hopefully, to learn from and, you know, develop his career as a potential future manager of either Cambridge or somewhere else.
And we spoke about it a bit on the show on Saturday, the Cambridge Football Show, the preview before all the games, that despite the results, despite United not winning under Bonner, there does seem to be a bit of a lift, a bit of a happier environment down at the training ground. Not that it wasn't unhappy under Joe, but when you've lost so many games, the atmosphere does tend to be a bit dour. But Bonner had lifted things up, and I guess that bridge from the vacancy to then the new manager, the new head coach in Colin Calderwood, that sort of bridge and giving him all the information, all of the lowdown on the squad is going to be crucial for him to settle in.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just, you know, that's going to be Bon's job now that you know, there's a new head coach. He's going to be filling him in. He's going to be introducing the players. You know, there's a job to be done, and I think, you know, professional as he is, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be something that's going to happen properly. And you know, as I say, I don't think he ever thought he was going to get the job. So whilst he might be a little disappointed, realistically, that's where he was going to be. So he'll do what he needs to do to get him up to speed, and hopefully, you know, I think as far as this weekend goes, I don't suppose that Colin will have much say in what goes on, simply because, you know, assuming that he didn't go training with them today, he's got a training session on Thursday, and then he probably will have the training session on Thursday, and then obviously the team will travel up to Morecambe on Friday before the game on Saturday, so he's not going to be able to do a great deal before then. So I think Mark will be everything but in name, will be in charge of Saturday's game.
Yeah, and in terms of Coleman sort of going into January, there's no doubt, as we mentioned before, you usually need a striker, so funds need to be available, don't they, for him to spend and really put his spin on this squad as much as possible. But with it being January, the likelihood of signing players or top players who's going to make a difference is going to be lessened, because they're going to be at clubs, I assume, doing well.
Yeah.
So that's where you look for his contacts. You look for the loan market, and hopefully he'll be able to bring in a few players.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, that was the point of getting someone with experience at this level or beyond, you know, partly because of the contacts. You know, you have to look at it and think, you're not going to find a 20-goal a season striker at this stage of the season being sold off. If we had millions and millions to go by, we might have been able to rescue somebody from a club that they didn't want to be at. But it was always going to be, you'll find the best of the strikers that are available and give them a relatively short-term contract, I would have thought. But, you know, if you've got loan players that you can pick up, and we know we've done very well with loan players in the past, done not so well with some of them, but we've done quite well with others. You know, so if he's got those contacts to be able to find them, then that'll be a great addition to the side in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and if you look at Calderwood's CV, like we are doing now, Birmingham, Norwich, Newcastle as well under Houghton, and Aston Villa with Steve Bruce. These are the types of managers who've been at a number of clubs, as I've just said, and Steve Bruce being at taking Hull up, you know, Wigan, Birmingham as well, and almost taking Villa up to the Premier League. These managers have been at clubs where they've had to go and they've had to look at the players, assess the situation, and create a style and a system around those players, really. So they've had to adapt to what they've got. And I guess coming into League Two of a side that is third bottom, that's the perfect guy you want, really. Someone who's going to have to look at the squad before he can add his own in January and think, right, what can I do? What can I get the best out of these players?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, as we've said over and over again, it's a good apprenticeship he's had, and now's the time for him to come into his own and prove that, you look at his three appointments as manager, and he had good records at the first two. Hibs was not quite probably what he'd want, and whether that was his decision to go back into being an assistant, I don't know, but 48% win rate at Northampton, a 42% win rate at Forest, and then go down to 25% for Hibs. But
yes, please, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even 25% we're settled for at the moment, to be honest. But certainly the first two are relatively good. So I think, you know, we just need to see him settle in quickly, and then find out what's available. I mean, the club have already committed that there are going to be resources available for January, and they've reiterated that again with the appointment of Calderwood. So I think, you know, we wait to see how big those resources are, what we're likely to be able to get, what loan players potentially we can get in, we can start the year on a positive. I think
fresh slate.
You know, it would be nice to. I still think, you know, we've got to be careful that we don't take our eye off the ball. There's two games coming up with the...
I was going to say short term. Yeah. It's still important we get results.
Yeah, absolutely. I said on the show that we wanted to get 6 points from these nine that are available till the Boxing Day game, up to and including the Boxing Day game. Yeovil didn't happen, 1 point. So we've still got a fair bit to go in order to pick those points up. And I think... the problem is long distance travel, especially when we go up the day before. We seem to be decidedly rubbish at doing anything when we do that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at Morecambe. But that should be a game, again, like the Yeovil game, that we have a good chance of picking up 3 points from. Crawley should be as well before you get to MK Dons, which you kind of look at that and you resign yourself to, we might be lucky and pick up 1 point from that. Knowing us, we'll probably smash that one, and we'll start the year off with a bang. So, but we certainly don't want to lose. We don't want to lose track, and I think that's again where Mark Bonner is going to be a big influence. Is keeping that continuity going and making sure that everybody's focused on winning the next two games.
Yeah, Bonner has got an important job, as has the new head coach, Colin Coldwood. Tim, thank you very much for coming in. We'll make this into a podcast. If you've missed it, you can listen to the whole show back and get our views on Cambridge United's new head coach. But Tim will be back on From the Terraces on Sunday. I'm sure we'll be back on Saturday as well, the Cambridge Football Show. And also, he'll be getting his Christmas jumper and Christmas hat on as well for the From the Terraces Christmas special.
Yeah, so we've got our usual extra long show on the 27th, that's the Thursday after Christmas, 4 till 6 we're on. So we'll be doing a mid-season summary for Histon, for Cambridge City and for Cambridge United. We'll probably get Mark Bonner to do that one. We may even have some special guests. We'll also be talking to Kevin Hoover of Cambridge United Women, and if we can get in touch with the City Ladies and Histon Ladies, then we'll be doing that as well.
Brilliant.
So 4 till 6, 27th of December.
Brilliant. Make sure you tune in once you're tuck into your cold turkey sandwiches probably as well, and fed up on Brussels sprouts. Nothing better to listen to than From the Terraces. That's Thursday the 27th of December, 4 till 6. That's it, Tim. Thank you very much. Up next, we're talking Cambridge United Women. Welcome back to the Cambridge Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio. It's time to talk Cambridge United Women now, and they sit 10th in the FA Women's National League Division 1 South East. Heading into the Christmas break, their match against Ipswich Town on the weekend was postponed. But to look back on the season so far is coach Sean Gregoosh. Thanks for joining me, Sean.
Pleasure.
Yeah, Sean, just talk about the season so far, really, and on today's show. But before we do that, let's talk as much as we can about Saturday. Of course, it was postponed, waterlogged pitch. I guess the pitch was in no fit condition to play a football match.
Yeah, you know, obviously disappointing that the last game before the Christmas period got called off. But with the weather we had on the Saturday, you know, and knowing where they play at Felixstowe, It was just one of those unfortunate moments where we got the phone call Sunday morning to let us know that it was a waterlogged pitch, and that would be us done before the Christmas period, really.
In terms of the season so far then, Sean, what are your assessments of how you've gone in the league and in the Cups?
Yeah, so obviously we've only played 7 league games, which is quite a surprise. Looking at the rest of the teams in our league, they've sort of played 10, 11 league games and have got the points on the board. You know, realistically, we set out the start of the season to be competitive in all the games we've been in this season. You know, I think we've had a half-decent cup run, both in the FA Cup and the League Cup, you know, getting to the last 16. And we were actually the lowest ranked side up until last Sunday when we lost to Wimbledon. You know, we've done okay. You know, there's still things that we want to be improving on. You know, we've started looking ahead of the second part of the season and what we can do to press on. But I would say it's been a bit of an up and down start to the season, but mostly pleasing for us.
And 10th in the table in the league, do you reckon that's a fair position so far? Obviously, the saying the table never lies, but there, I imagine there are games where you feel you could have got a point or a couple more points out of.
Yeah, massively. You know, like I said, we've only played 7 league games. We did have a bit of a sticky spell where we gained 1 point from 3 games, which, you know, before that we set our sights on getting the 9 points from those. And like you said, the table doesn't lie. However, at the moment, we do have 3-4 games in hand, you know, and I know we've got to win them. If we do manage to win those, you know, we sort of go up to fourth place in the league. So it's about what we can do with our games in hand, really.
Mm. And those cup competitions you had after that sort of sticky patch in the league, they really allowed you to break free, find some rhythm, find some form. And since then, in the league, you've managed to pick up a few results.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like we said, you know, we wanted to be competitive in every game we played this season, whether it was a league game or a cup game. And we did have quite a run of cup games. I think we actually only played 1 or 2 league games in about 2 months. So that has allowed us to play in those cup games. But what it does mean is after Christmas, we've got 15 league games to focus on. We've got a semi-final of the County Cup in about a month and a half's time. So we'll have a good run at the league games now, really. You know, focus on that and push ourselves up the table, hopefully.
Yeah, a lot of points to play for, I guess. Like you say, you've played 7 league games. A lot of teams have played 11, so they'd be halfway through their league campaign. You're effectively just under a third of the way through yours. But in terms of the Cups then, obviously the main headline was that massive FA Cup tie against Cambridge City. The controversy that followed after was a bit of a shame, but no more. It really brought the profile up of the women's game in the local area, and both ties were a great occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the way it was dealt with, you know, was disappointing on behalf of the FA. You know, I don't think we can point blame at Cambridge City or, you know, ourselves. It was one of those where, you know, if the protocol had been followed properly and everything was done the right way, we wouldn't have been in that situation. But like you said, I think both games were fantastic games for the neutral to come and watch. You know, it was entertaining, both the first game and the second game. And like you said, yeah, it did raise the profile. Unfortunately, not all positive because of what was going on social media-wise. But hopefully, you know, those people that did come and watch both games saw 2 good games of football and you sort of saw 2 sides that really wanted to win.
Mm. And in terms of the League Cup, you mentioned it there, last 16 last week against AFC Wimbledon. A lot of optimism going into that game because you managed to get a result at Wimbledon on the first game of the season, 1-1. But unfortunately, last week lost 2-1. Disappointing, really, because that was a chance to get into the quarterfinals. But again, a nice cup run that you had.
Yeah, you know, we looked at the game and it was one of those, like you said, we played them first game of the season and we got a point. You know, we're disappointed to come away with a 2-1 defeat. But the character of the girls' second half, we were hugely proud of. We got ourselves back into the game and should have and could have really got another goal to take it into extra time. But on the day, you know, Wimbledon got the result. They stuck at it. Unfortunately, we're out of it, you know. So like we said, it is a case of, for now, we can focus on the league games.
Yeah, in terms of going forward, like we said, lots of points to play for. What are the hopes for the new year? Straight after the break, you've got 2 tricky games, Wimbledon and Orient, 3rd and 4th in the league respectively, but both at home, chances to pick up some points. But I guess you've got to be right on the game as soon as you come back after Christmas to try and get at least a point or a cup or a free, sorry, from the games.
Yeah, you know, the Christmas period's a tricky one, you know, for our girls and the girls in the league that we play in. Sort of Christmas is a case of you shut down and there's very rarely time to train. But we'll come back into those games, you know, we'll get a couple of sessions in before that. And really our aim and our focus is, you know, we've set ourselves a task of trying to get at least 30 points from the last 15 games. And there's nothing really to fear. We've played Orient twice and we've beaten them twice. You know, we've played Wimbledon twice, we've drawn and we lost 2-1. So they're games we're looking to see where we're at. And it's a case of, if we can get off to a good start the next couple of games in the league, pick up those points, you know, momentum's massive for us. And our ambition will be to finish in, you know, the top four or five, you know, hopefully chasing that third place. I think this year we've been surprised by the quality of Billericay and Crawley that have both come up. You know, I think they took everybody by surprise. But we've still got to play them. So it's just about getting a bit of momentum and winning games of football.
Yeah, and when I spoke to you at the start of the season, you both, yourself and Kevin, mentioned that there was a lot of talent in this squad. You believed you could really push for a promotion after a disappointing campaign last year. So in terms of your ambitions for the next sort of few months heading into the end of the season, I imagine they'd have been changed slightly with the league position. But Kevin mentioned on the show on Saturday about blooding through young players. He wanted to do that in the cup games that you had, and you managed to in the County Cup as well. So going into 2019, is that the plan, sort of to play some of these younger players to get them ready for next season, so you can really have a fresh slate and go for that promotion next campaign?
Yeah, you know, that's been massive for us. We've always said we'll have a big squad and we'll have to use them. You know, we regularly have 2 16-year-olds that start for us in Molly and Fran, and they've played most of the games this season. So, you know, we're not afraid to put the youngsters in, but it is a case of putting them in when it's right for them. You know, we don't want to put them in a situation where it's difficult for them. We want to ease them in. And hopefully for the rest of the season, we'll be picking up points. You know, momentum will be good, but we can also blood a few more of the youngsters that have been training well with us and playing well in our development side.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Sean. Have a good Christmas. I won't speak to you probably until after the New Year. So have a good Christmas and year as well. Hopefully we'll be talking as well in 2019 about lots of wins for Cambridge United Women.
That's brilliant. And yourself. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Sean. Thank you. Sean Gregory's there talking all things Cambridge United Women, having a bit of review of the season so far, around about halfway through their campaign. But up next, a bit later than usual, it's your air travel.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things history.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city, there's a village green. It's been a long time since I last set eyes on the church with the steeple down by the village green.
Yeah, welcome back to the Cambridge Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Ollie Slack and we're going to talk Histon now, and they won again on the weekend, their seventh in a row, ensuring they sit top of the Eastern Counties Premier Division ahead of God Manchester with two games in hand. They lead them by 2 points, and defender Rob Ruddy joins me on the line now. Thanks for joining me, Rob.
No worries, mate. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. A 4-2 win over Norwich United on Saturday. A very impressive win, of course, because Norwich were high up in the table when you first played them earlier on in the season, but lost 9 on the bounce before Saturday, so a completely different side, but nonetheless an important win.
Yeah, mate, yeah, I think any player that played on Saturday would say the conditions were just absolutely ridiculous, and to get a result against a team that obviously has just got a new gaffer, so they're going to be rejuvenated, and you know, they played very well, to be fair to them, and I probably would say they're a bit unlucky, but to get 3 points was huge for us, and yes, another one chalked off.
Yeah, mentally going into the match against a side knowing, I guess, they're better than their league table suggests, also knowing they've got a new manager, you're hoping to avoid that manager bounce that teams often have. How difficult was that?
Yeah, I think the more experienced players will know for a fact that as soon as the new gaffer comes in, you know that it's going to be a completely different team, and maybe some players that have not gone well with the previous management, you know, can come back completely different. And I think we knew exactly what we were going into, and with the weather conditions, it was going to be a battle whether we were playing second or last at the bottom of the table. It was going to be an absolute slog, but it was just very pleasing to get the result.
And the win means no league loss now in around 3 months, which is incredible. One draw in that time, that's a remarkable run of form heading into the festive period.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I didn't know that, but yeah, it does sound good, doesn't it? And we shall try and keep it going for as long as possible, really.
Two of your last four have finished going into the next next few games, so into the festive period, you're at two of your last four games have finished a third of the way through. So it's tricky, really. I mean, you talk a lot about when you go into December about the long amount of games and the fixture slog, but I guess in two of those games you've sort of had half a match off, if you like, so you've almost had a breather in some of them.
Yeah, it's just bad luck. I mean, two of the lads are lucky they're all right, but to play two league games and both get abandoned, I've never heard anything like it. But, we're hoping that those two games will maybe be played like further down the line, maybe towards the end of the season, depending on where we are on the table. Who knows, we might have won the league by then, we might not have, but, you know, fixtures back up sort of January time, and I think Keyes were saying that, January's looking Tuesday, Saturday, etc., depending on how well we're doing the VARs. So we'll have to see what happens, really.
Yeah, and in terms of your festive fixtures then, Clacton, Newmarket and Walsham, the Willows, I guess two of those sides you guess you'd expect to get results from, but nonetheless, when they're sort of bunched together, they're going to be tricky games. But the key one, the standout on that fixture list is Walsham, the Willows as well, another top six side.
Yeah, they're a very good side. You know, Newmarket are a good side, especially when they play at home on their surface. And then, all the way to Clacton on Saturday, and it's going to be an absolute battle again. So, nothing's given. We've just got to go there and work hard and hopefully get all the points. And, going to the new year unbeaten, as you said, for the last 3 months, that'd be great.
And how difficult is the Christmas period for semi-pros like yourself? Obviously, you've got your family as well, and it's different to professionals. You've got your mind on other things. But how is that for a semi-pro footballer?
I think, playing this league, when the fixtures are. I mean, the killer's probably Boxing Day, playing off Christmas Day, especially if we've got 11 o'clock kick-off. So,
early
night, yeah, on Christmas Day. So I think all the players are all prepared properly for that. And, it's well known that, Christmas is going to be quite difficult, but we've still been training, we've still done all the normal things that we did in the previous season, so it's not much fuss for me, and I'm sure it's not fuss for many other players either. So
definitely
we should go into it and see what happens.
Yeah, no signs of Wilton yet on the pressure, but thanks for joining us, Rob. Off you go. You got training now, so I'll let you go.
Yes, mate. Cheers.
And all the best for the Christmas period.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thank you. Bye.
Rob Ruddy there, talking all things Histon, of course, getting ready for those festive fixtures, three fixtures in a week. Never easy around Christmas time, but of course it's a tradition in Britain, and I'm sure all the players were relishing a chance to kick on further ahead in the league. But we'll have your Cambridgeshire County League update in a bit after this festive song.
Christmas night, another fight, tears we cried a flood. Got all kinds of poison in my blood. I took my feet to Oxford Street, trying to right a wrong. Just walk away, those windows say, but I can't believe she's gone. When you're still waiting for the snow to fall, doesn't really feel like Christmas at all. Christmas lights light up the sky. those Christmas lights keep shining on.
Christmas Lights by Coldplay there on Cambridge 105 Radio. Listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek. And I'm Ollie Sell. Let's run through your Cambridgeshire County League update now. In terms of the Kershaw Prem, the results from the weekend were Bar Hill lost to Cherry Hinton 3-1. Brampton defeated Combaton 2-1. Cambridge City Reserves, of course, sitting bottom of the Kershaw Prem. Linton Grant atop. There was only one winner there. 6-0 Linton Grant of Frasham. Cambridge University Press drew 1-0 with Ely City Reserves. Foxton, well, they're in free fall. Lost again, losing 2-1 to Hemingford United. Great Shelford, Fulbourne Institute first. This promised to be a really interesting game. Of course, Fulbourne, it was worse in second in the league, lost to Linton Grant at top of the league last week. Could they bounce back then against third place Great Shelford? So really two tough games. The match finished 3-3. What a fixture that was. St Neots Town Reserves lost 6-0 to Eton. Socon first team. West Ratting 1, Ainsbury 3. And in terms of Senior A, five fixtures to tell you about. Fulbourne Institute Reserves, unlike their first team in Kershaw the Prem, they lost 7-0 to Chatteris Town. Gamlingay United beat Cottenham United 3-2. Girton lost 3-0 to Huntingdon. Orwell defeated Soham 4-0. And Whittlesford defeated Milton 2-0. In terms of Senior B then, Bluntsham Rangers first team beat Lakenheath 6-2. Bluntsham doing pretty well this season towards the top of Senior B. Newmarket Town Reserves completely opposite though, lost to AFC Barlimo 7-0. AFC Barlimo dropped to second in the league, only though on points, but they do have 3 games in hand, so a real chance for them. I know they will go top if they win those games in hand. Sawston Rovers 0, Cambridge University Press 0, St Ives Rangers 4, West Ratting 1, Steeple Bumpstead 1, Great Chisel 0, Faxted Rangers defeated Royston Town 5-0, thrashed them on the weekend. Wisbeat St Mary Reserves 1, Needingworth United first team 1, Needingworth doing pretty well as well at the top there. Witchford 96 first team 2, and March Town United Reserves 1. So that's your Cambridgeshire County League update. Lots of fixtures to bring you on Saturday as well. Of course, the fixtures don't stop over the Christmas period in terms of United, City and Histon as well. The women have a break, but in terms of the men, they are still getting on the fixture list. Lots of fixtures for them over the Christmas period. In terms of your texts and your tweets then around Cambridge United, lots of positivity for a change. Experience is key in the situation we are in. He will have plenty of contacts to buy/loan players come January, and you would think he would get the backing from the board as well. So in my opinion, a great choice. Thank you, Matt Cheldley there. Exactly what we need, says John Moore. Someone else got us in touch and said, I think his record suggests that he'd be a very good coach as well, having good contacts for signings. And now it's just twice someone's mentioned that. Now, the coaching at Cambridge United needs a change of emphasis, in their opinion. Recent coaches instilled a fear of losing in the players at League 2 level. You need to be more attacking. And it's more tweets basically saying a good appointment, basically encouraging. Good luck, Colin. Big question, though. Suit or tracksuit in the dugout? That really is the main question, is it? Or will he go for a waistcoat after Gareth Southgate's exploits in the summer? I'd like to see a waistcoat at the Abbey. Wayne Lockwood says, good appointment for me, being at big clubs, so plenty of experience. So positivity in terms of the U's Twitter feed for the Colin Coldwood, the new Cambridge United head coach. We'll be talking lots more about him at the Abbey and in the dugout over the next few weeks. That, despite the Christmas period, our coverage of Cambridge United, City, Histon, Cambridge United women, Cambridge City ladies, all the football on Cambridge 105 Radio does not stop. I'll be back on Saturday for the preview. Tim Willett is up next with a new generator.